All right, good morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Turn to Matthew 6. We had Bible class from Matthew chapter 5, but we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6. I appreciate Charlie reading our passage. We'll be in that exact spot, verses 16 through 18 here in just a minute. I appreciate David Skidmore being here last week. Karen and I got to go visit some beautiful country and see the fall foliage and just the gorgeousness of red and oranges and yellows and colors that you just are unfathomable. But it's a beautiful time of the year. But I know David always does a good job, so I appreciate you guys giving us the time to be away, and also what he always brings, message from God's Word to you guys as well. It's always good stuff. So we'll get to Matthew 6 in just a minute. There was a preacher and his wife who were invited to dinner. One of the members of his congregation said, "Hey, we would love to have you guys over for dinner tonight." And so the preacher and his wife showed up. They got there about 10 minutes early, which was a little problematic because they weren't quite ready for them yet, but that was okay. And so they're visiting. Mom's in the kitchen trying to kind of close up and finish things out. And little Timmy, little kindergartner, is setting the table. That was his job. You know, his job was to put out the utensils and the plates and all that. And so he's working away, and they're visiting. And so finally, it's time to sit down and eat. They sit down, and Mom looks over, and the preacher doesn't have a fork or knife or spoon. She's a little embarrassed. She's like, "Timmy, why didn't you give the preacher a fork and a knife and a spoon?" And he's like, "Well, Mommy didn't think I had to." She says, "Well, why didn't you think you had to?" She goes, "Because when you and Daddy were talking a while ago, he said that the preacher eats like a horse. Don't need no fork, knife, and spoon to eat like a horse. I hope I don't eat like a horse." You know, we talk about it all the time. I mean, I like to eat too, but I hope I don't eat like a horse. So if I ever show up at your house and there's no knife, spoon, or fork, then I will know that I have eaten too much in previous engagements. But, you know, we talk about all the time that we're an eating congregation. We eat a lot. But we're an eating nation. You know, we're really blessed in that we've always got food. It's interesting, at our household, the kids will come to us all the time and go, "Oh," I mean, when Hunter and Colby were there, but even Curry is still at home. And it's just like, "There's nothing in the house to eat." And we just walk in there and go, "Whoosh," you know, it's like, "What is all of that?" Well, you know what I mean. Like, yeah, junk. You know, just want to eat all day long. Just stuff. You know, we have a tendency to be an eating place. And so I want to talk about something that maybe not sits well with us when we see this in Scripture, because oftentimes we just pass by and go, "Oh, well, that's not a requirement." You know, this whole fasting thing. So I want to give you a riddle this morning. It's a riddle of sorts, I guess. I don't know if you'll think it's a riddle or not, but here we go. You ready? Many of us have had to do this at least once. I know that's pretty broad. Probably more than once. It's something we know is for our own good. It's actually for the good of our body, but it's still very difficult to do. The fact that those around us are not doing it while we are doing it makes it even harder. And the fact that it's required and not voluntary makes it difficult as well. What am I talking about? Prayer. Huh? Prayer? Nope.
Jury duty.
Good job, Jackson. I like that. It's fasting, but it's a surgery preparation fast. You ever had surgery for your mouth, or you're going to go to surgery and you've got to fast a lot? You know, they don't do the midnight thing anymore. I mean, that's kind of far and away. It's usually 6 hours, sometimes 8 hours, 4 hours or whatever. And they say, "Hey, you can't have any food. You can't have anything but clear liquids for X amount of time." And I don't know if you've ever had to do that or not. It's not that difficult. The more difficult part of that is when you're the only one that's not allowed to eat, and everybody else is just, "Blah, blah, you know, hey, you want some ice cream?" You know, it's like, "Wow, thanks, appreciate you guys eating in front of me," kind of a thing. But, you know, in the Bible, you have a lot of illustrations of fasting. There's tons of illustrations about fasting. I want to throw some names out for you. Moses, King David, Elijah, Queen Esther, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Anna the prophetess, the Apostle Paul, Jesus Christ. Top 10. It's not an exhaustive list by any means. That's kind of the top 10 names. There's plenty of others of those who fasted. You know, they fasted for various reasons. They did things for different reasons at times, but there were various motivations. The fast that we hear about today, probably the most common, is Ramadan. Right? You guys understand the Muslim fast of Ramadan. They fast for an entire month. And this year, it's the ninth month of the Muslim calendar, but this month, or this year, it was May 15th through June 14th. You would think that they'd schedule that thing in the winter time, because this is not a full fast, this is a partial fast. You're just not allowed to eat while the sun's up. Right? So that's the middle of the summer. That's the highlight of the sun being out. So that would be the worst time to have to fast, but they do always do it during their ninth month. And again, it's not a full fast, because as soon as the sun goes down, they can eat and drink whatever they want. And so but still difficult, because you know you're talking what 15, 16 hour days, and so that's a pretty long time to go without food. But you know, we find fasting difficult to do if it's required, but it's even more difficult if it's just voluntary. Because we'll very seldom fast because it's something that we choose to do. I was studying about fasting, and I came across a study from 1973. This is it blows my mind study, but there was a 27-year-old who fasted. You ready for this? This is the longest fast recorded ever that I know of. He fasted for 382 days. You say, no way, he died. No, he's alive. He lived. Supervision of researchers from a Scotland university. It's the longest fast ever recorded. When he began the fast, he weighed 456 pounds. 456 pounds. When the fast was over, he weighed 180. Guy lost 276 pounds on this fast. And he had water, but he also had supplements. You can go if you want to read the study. It's really quite interesting. He never got sick. He didn't suffer any ill effects. In fact, 5 years later, he weighed 196. So he pretty much kept the weight off. He maintained his weight from 180 to 200 for years after that, and was doing fine. What was his motivation? It wasn't to be a research. Yeah, it was to lose weight. He just flat out and said, I want to lose weight. Researchers will tell you that's not the best way to do that. It's actually probably one of the most unhealthy ways to fast. But so the question that we want to ask this morning is, why should we fast? Right? I mean, there's different reasons to fast within Scripture, and I'm going to look at a few of those. But why should we fast? Is it really something that's necessary? Well, turn to Matthew 6. There's not a command to fast. There's not necessarily a requirement to fast. However, it seems like there's an expectation that we will. In verse 5 of chapter 6, Jesus says, and when you pray, there's an expectation of, hey, while you're praying or when you're praying, here's some things I want you to think about. So when we get to verse 16 through 18, we make this assumption, you know, hey, because he talks about prayer, we should probably be praying. I mean, he talks about prayer a lot, and he talks about fasting a lot as well. If you look at verse 16 through 18, he says, when you fast, not if you fast, not if you choose to fast or not choose to fast, but he says, when you're fasting, don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So Jesus is dealing with fasting, but he's also saying, hey, there needs to be a correct motivation to answer the question, why should you fast? There's one way to answer it in this particular passage, which is not to be seen by men, not to be showing off, not to show how holy you are. We just talked about this in Bible class this morning, because we're talking about anger and how he says, you've heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not kill or shall not murder. But I say to you, don't even get angry. It's a heart thing. And so here you have these same folks who Jesus gets onto over and over again about their outward appearance, but inwardly there's something not going on that's correct. They haven't quite touched base with the things that God wants them to touch base with. In this passage, he says, so when you fast, I want you to fast for the right reason. In fact, turn to Matthew chapter 9. Here in Matthew 6, Jesus says, I want your fasting to be a personal relationship between you and God. Only he needs to know you're fasting. So don't look like you're fasting. Don't go on Tuesdays and Fridays, which is when they love to fast, because that was, you know, during the market days and there was going to be the most people around and the most people could see them. That's not what he was saying, I want you to fast for. In fact, in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is asked why his disciples don't fast. Here's his response, verses 14 and 15. Then John's disciples came and asked Jesus, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples don't fast? Jesus said, well, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? Now we can stop right there and go, well, that's why they didn't fast, because Jesus is with them. But look what he says next. The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then what? Then they'll fast. They're going to fast. It's presumed they'll fast. It's an expectation that they'll fast, because fasting was very much a part of this culture. It teaches a lot of things. There's a lot of various, again, motivations and reasons for fasting, both in the Old and the New Testament. But we're studying about discipline, right? On Wednesdays, for the sake of our visitors. Wednesday nights, we're studying Whitney's book on spiritual disciplines. And one of those spiritual disciplines is fasting. Not the most popular. But it is exactly what it says it is. It is, fasting's like going to the gym. It builds the muscle of our faith. Fasting is important because we say no to something that we might desire in order to say yes to something that we desire more. Something that's better. So it's supposed to help us focus on God. I think fasting helps us to focus on the giver of all good things instead of the good things. I mean, we're given lots of good stuff. We talked about, I mean, our veterans fought and died in many cases, and we have these incredible stories and this history in this country of these folks giving their lives for the freedom of this country so that we can have what we have and do what we do and be here this morning and all the rest that goes with that. But we have lots of stuff. We're very blessed by God. And so in reality, fasting says, hey, I want to focus on the giver and not on the gifts. And part of those gifts is food and drink. That's the biblical case for fasting, is almost every case. There's an exception to the rule. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we see kind of an exception to the rule. It doesn't talk necessarily about fasting, but we don't have any kids in here, right? So not one that will understand. So we get 1 Corinthians 7. It talks about the conjugal rights. It's a passage that Paul's talking about marriage. And he says, hey, look, the body of your wife is your body, right? And you as the husband, it's your her body. And so for the physical part of that relationship, you know, you should share it in each other's bodies as married people. Except, he says, if you decide to not engage in physical relationship, I can say that and everybody understand what I'm talking about. You can not engage in physical relationship for what? For the sake of dedicating yourselves to prayer. So you say no to something that's totally 100% permissible, just like food is wonderful and good and drink is wonderful and good, but we just say no so we can participate in something better. And that's essentially fasting in its own wonderful little way. Focus on being God-centered instead of self-centered. That's what one author wrote. Richard Foster writes this. You know, he does exactly what Donald S. Whitney does. He writes this incredible book on disciplines. And he says this, more than any other single discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. This is a wonderful benefit to the true disciple who longs to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We cover up what's inside of us with food and other good things, but in fasting, these things surface. In other words, you figure out what it is that really helps to control you. Now, I'm going to throw out there that in the biblical days, you have food and drink as the fast. There wasn't a lot of other things that they could fast from, even though we just mentioned one that's in 1 Corinthians 7. But in our day and in our culture, we have a lot of things that define us. Electronics and television shows and binge-watching Netflix and Facebook and coffee And I'm not looking. I just looked at Cameron. Sorry, I wasn't like staring at you when I said coffee. There's plenty of. Oh, you got one? Well, then you deserve the look. No, you deserve. I mean, we get that. I mean, we all get that. We do coffee. We do different things that we do. I love football. I mean, I love football. And it occurred to me this week if somebody says, "Well, you need to fast from football." Okay, you know, it would not be that hard, but it would definitely be something that I would be like, oh, wait a minute, that's important to me, you know. So is it too important to actually fast from? I mean, is relationship too important to fast from? Is coffee too important to fast from? Whatever else you want to put into place. Now, food and drink is a pretty important part of our everyday. I recognize the fact that there are some who, can't fast for health reasons. But for the most part, we all can. But we just choose not to. For some reason, prayer is talked about and scripture reading is talked about and dedication to God is talked about. But fasting, when you start talking about fasting, people kind of go, well, that's not really required, right? I don't want it to be required. Please tell me it's not required. I don't think it's necessarily required, but it's certainly an incredible good discipline. It teaches us so very much. I used to love to fast when I was younger. Now, I say that because, you know, when I was in college, I fasted a lot. People go, yeah, you didn't have the money to spend for food. Well, actually, I did. We had a teacher, the guy that taught me how to do memorization. Actually, I have his book in my office, and he teaches you how to fast. And he fasted all the time, and he did it on purpose, and he did it on a specific time of every week. And he dedicated that time. It wasn't necessarily saying no to food. It was saying yes to God. I think it was Dallas Willard who said, hey, don't look at fasting as fasting. Look at it as feasting. Because you're fasting from food, but you're feasting on the Lord. You're taking the time that you would normally spend, or you're taking the energies and your mind focus on food or Facebook or whatever it is that you choose to fast from, in the case of food, and you say, hey, I'm going to allow God to be the replacement. I'm going to think about Him more. I'm going to read His Word more. I'm going to feast on the living bread. I'm going to feast on or drink from the living water. I'm going to allow Jesus to be that which sustains me. I'm going to look at the giver, right, instead of the gifts themselves. The purpose of fasting should be to take your eyes off the things of this world. A lot of times the focus of fasting is on the lack of food. We look at the lack of food instead of looking at what it is that we're doing. This is what we've been talking about on Sunday mornings in Bible class. You know, we're saved from sin, but we're saved unto righteousness. You know, God's not trying to say, hey, don't do that. He's trying to say, do this. And so when we fast, it's not about don't eat. It's like, no, do focus more on God. Do take the time to, you know, if you guys ever have, does your stomach do like my stomach does when I'm really hungry? Does it talk to you? It's like, you know, kind of a deal. You know, when you're hungry, mine did it today, and I was like, I was going to do this in the prayer, and then I figured somebody would make fun of me because it sounds like, that's kind of how my stomach sounds. And I don't know how your stomach sounds, but mine, and so I was thinking, okay, when my stomach makes that noise, I'm going to pretend like my stomach's saying, it's okay, don't eat, pray more, you know, or something. So I did that once this week, and it just seemed really awkward, you know, because I was by myself, and I'm talking to myself out loud, like, okay, I got it, you know. And so if anybody's, you know, recording me at any point in time, goes, this guy definitely has something wrong with him. Yeah. So it's not the idea of focusing on the lack of food, and it's certainly not so everybody can see what I'm doing, and it's certainly not for anyone outward. This is between me and God. It's between you and God. And it's simply saying, hey, I want to discipline myself to the point where I say, no, I'm not doing that. You know, when we're on a diet, we say no to certain foods. We don't say no to everything. We say no to certain foods, and we eat better, right? It's exactly what fasting is. It's feasting on that which is better. I'm going to say no to this so that I can have this. And so that's the essence of fasting. It's passing up the appetizers and salads for the main course. And the main course is obviously that which is better. Now, there's lots of things that we can think about. Another reason to fast is to enhance your prayer life. That's what we see a lot in Scripture. Remember this summer, or actually in the spring, we talked about Ezra and Nehemiah and the power of Ezra and Nehemiah and what they did in rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the walls. Do you remember what they did when they started praying to God in regards to their task and to their mission? They fasted. They declared a fast so that their prayers were more focused and their intent on what they wanted to accomplish was known to God, and they backed it up by saying, hey, we're not going to eat, we're not going to drink, we're going to focus only on this prayer life. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when the armies of Moab and Ammon, the Ammonites, the Moabites, you know, from Ammon and Moab, were bearing down on Judah, King Jehoshaphat came to the conclusion, hey, maybe we need some help. Look at verses 3 and 4. So alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. Let's pray for God. Let's see what God has to say about that. And so he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. We're going to fast and we're going to inquire to the Lord about what we really want. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Remember Queen Esther? Whenever she finds out about Haman's plot to kill all of the Jews, and so she goes to Mordecai and she says, hey, Uncle Mordecai, I need you to help me out here, okay? Because I've got an incredible task that's important to do. Look at verse 4, chapter 4, verse 16. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Now look at this one. This is not a partial fast. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to bathe my prayer request. I'm going to bathe this request, this task that I've been given to go to the king to save the Jews. I'm going to bask it in prayer and in fasting. I mean, when's the last time that we actually fasted in our prayer life to enhance the prayers that we've put together, that something that we really desire from God, that inquiring of God, and something that really means something to us. Biblically, we see them fasting when they want these answers. Fasting can also remind us that our true food is to do the will of God. I really love this passage. I love the Gospel of John. It's just such an incredible book. But look in chapter 4. If you remember, Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman. You remember what the apostles are doing? They go into town to do what? Go get bread. Go get food. So they all go into town to go buy food because, you know, food's important. And Jesus hangs out with this Samaritan woman. They have these great conversations. Everything's going great. And he explains to her some things that no one else is supposed to know. So she's excited. She's going to go into town and say, I just met a guy that can tell you everything that you need to know about me. I mean, it's just incredible. What a great guy. And so she leaves about the time the apostles come back with food. This is what he says, verses 31 through 34. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. You don't know anything about this food, but it's okay. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? You know, the murmuring that goes on. He says, look, guys, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's what I'm chewing down on. I don't need the physical because I've got other things that are more important. I hope you guys would realize that, Jesus is saying to them. Have you ever done this? Roger, I think Roger probably has done this. Roger, have you ever worked so hard you forgot to eat? Yep. You're just going, right? And then all of a sudden you go, man, I'm kind of hungry. Michael, you ever did? You have a busy day. I mean, you've been there, done that, where you go, 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 and all of a sudden you kind of look back at the end of the day and go, man, I've not eaten today. That's crazy. Now, that's not on purpose in most times. It just means that, hey, I had so many things going on, I was just going 1,000 miles an hour, and I just forgot about food. It wasn't that big of a deal. I've done that, I don't know how many times. Karen will be like, are you hungry? And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I've eaten today. I have to think about it for a second. And you say, well, not everybody can do that. Well, I get that. But we do that by accident, or we don't do things on purpose, and yet we can do it. I mean, we're going to have surgery, and we're told by a doctor, hey, you know, that anesthesiologist told you, you know, if you relax and, you know, things are going to come up if you eat it, so you probably not want to eat it. And so we do that for a reason. It's really, really important for us to understand fasting is for a reason. You know, I just asked the question a little while, why should we fast? We fast because it's a discipline. We fast because coupled with prayer, it produces results. It shows God, but I think it shows us that we're really dedicated to what we want to accomplish. How hard is it to say no to certain foods in our life? You know, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, especially when everybody else is sitting there just eating it away, and you're like, no, that's okay. You know, I'm on a diet. Well, fasting is simply a more spiritual diet, and it simply says, I'm not going to eat of this because I have something better. Remember 2 weeks ago, I brought up the story of Martha and Mary. Martha's in the kitchen working hard. She's cooking for Jesus. Is that a good thing? Give me a thumbs up. Is that good? Cooking for Jesus, good thing, right? It's not like she's doing anything bad. And we're not saying eating's a bad thing. We're not saying that Facebook's necessarily a bad thing. It could be, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. A lot of things that we do. Coffee's not a bad thing, right? Coffee's actually good for you. It's supposed to be like, it should be a food group, I'm pretty sure. So we've got all these things that are good for us. So it's not necessarily saying, sinfulness is in my way and I need to fast because of all this sinfulness. It's really more along the lines of better. Remember Jesus tells, Martha's all upset, like, man, Jesus, I'm in here working, you know, my honey bow off and trying to fix you a dinner, and this is an important thing. And she's just sitting here listening to you. And Jesus is like, she chose what's better. I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, I'm thankful for you, Martha, but I just want you to know that Mary sitting at my feet listening to my words is better than being in the kitchen and fixing food for me. Just saying. That's better. So again, this idea of better. Fasting is a way in which we declare something is better. Not sinful, better. I'm just going to choose not to eat for 24 hours. You guys realize we are having a deal in the end of December. Bless you. We have a deal at the end of December where we're going to have a prayer and fasting weekend. We're going to kick it off with a dinner. Yes, because that's what we do, right? We feast, right? We're going to eat, and then we're going to end it with what? Breakfast. We're going to eat. But in between that, we're going to spend 30 hours not eating. And we're going to encourage you to be a part of that weekend, and we're going to pray, and we're going to fast for the year 2019. How can we be a better congregation? How can we be a better person? How can we, you know, shine our lights in a better way? How can we be the salt of the earth? How can we do what we do and do it better? Well, we're going to ask of the Lord. We're going to inquire of Him as we fight these battles that go on. So we're going to eat of the living bread. We're going to drink of the living water. And fasting is an incredible way to realign our priorities. So I'm going to encourage you. If you've never fasted, how many of you is that embarrassing to ask? I won't raise your hand without raising your hand in your own mind. Go, I guess I've never fasted before. If you've not ever done that before from food, it's a pretty amazing thing to do because when your body starts telling you it's hungry, you allow that message to be turned into, hey, my soul needs some hunger. My soul needs some food too. And I'm going to read God's word right now, and I'm going to pray even harder, and I'm going to fight through that. Now, I'll tell you this, after about 2 days of fasting, if you get to about that mark, you won't even hardly even know anymore. Your stomach doesn't even, it just kind of starts feeding off of all the stored up fats. Not that any of us have stored up fats, but just people, some people do. And so it starts, it changes that. But I would say if you've never fasted before, pick a meal and don't do this. Well, I usually don't eat breakfast, so I think I'll pick breakfast. I'll fast from breakfast. Yes. Don't do that, which is easy. You know, that'd be like me saying, well, I'm going to fast 24 hours from Facebook. I'm going to do it. I'm not on Facebook. Piece of cake. It's not hard to do. I'm going to fast. You know what, Lisa? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to fast from mayonnaise. Doing it. Sour cream. I am. I'm going to show my dedication. I'm going to fast from sour cream. I hate that stuff. What? It's not a fast. You know, for me to say that jokingly is also like saying, hey, I'm going to miss the easiest meal for me to miss because that's the easiest thing. That's not what God's intending by fasting. God is saying, hey, I want you to recognize that you're a disciplined people. And if you want to understand a stronger relationship with the Lord, then simply say no to that, which is fine. Food's not a bad thing. and say yes to something better. And so I'm going to encourage you. Next Sunday, I will ask if I can at all remember to ask it. I should put it in my notes right now. I'm going to ask how many fasted from different things. So be ready for that answer. And if you say, I didn't do anything, I'm going to scorn you in front of everybody. I shall do it. I shall do that. I shall scorn thee. No, I won't do that. But I want to encourage you to do that this week, because it's an incredible way to realign our priorities. So if there's anything right now, we're going to sing a song. If there's anything we can do, if you need prayers for anything at all, please let us know that. So